the Biden administration faced backlash from advocates and some Democrats after it announced that it would maintain a lower cap for refugee resettlement here in the United States. President Biden originally signaled in February that the cap would be raised to more than 62,000 refugees, up from the historically low 15,000 limit put in place by the Trump administration. But last week, Biden signed an order extending the Trump-era cap through September. After criticism, the White House said it would reevaluate and announce a higher cap in mid-May. Our next guest joins us to talk about the state of refugees in the United States and the politics involved. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this move from the Biden administration? What did you think of the lower cap on refugees started under the Trump administration? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. Elise, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be with you, Rob.
Before we start digging into refugee policy, Elise, can we talk about who we're talking about here? I know it can be confusing to me. I'll say up front, who do we talk about when we're talking about refugees in particular?
Yeah, that's a great way to start the conversation. Under international law and U.S. law, refugees are a very narrow group that gets humanitarian protection because they are fleeing persecution, conflict, torture. So this does not include the domestic immigration discussion that we typically have about the southern border. Those people seeking asylum are asylum seekers, and under U.S. law, they go through a very different process and route. Whereas refugees through U.S. law are really coming through the United Nations Refugee Agency, and they're coming from overseas, and they often are going through a very lengthy vetting process, a year and a half, 2 years, even longer in some cases. So they are a very separate group from the asylum seekers that we think of when we think of the southern border.
And to lead up to this announcement on caps from the Biden administration, can you talk about the numbers of refugees admitted into the country and how that changed over the last few years?
Yes, well, for a long time, we had about an average of 80,000 refugees, those coming from overseas resettlement, per year. And again, that's an average. So it was at times during the Cold War, much higher than that, you know, 140,000, 120,000. And then we saw in the Obama administration, it was roughly between 70 and 80,000 was the ceiling for overseas refugees. Now, during the Trump era, we saw that each year Trump lowered that cap. So that is how we got down from about 80, 70,000 all the way down to 15,000 by the end of Trump's administration.
And that takes us to this news now. What was your reaction to this initial statement from the Biden administration saying that for this current fiscal year that we're in, we would stay, if I have this right, at that 15,000 cap?
Yes, it's a little bit confusing because in some ways the administration set itself up, I think, for a backlash by saying that it was going to change the Trump fiscal year 2021 refugee cap. Now, the way refugee admissions work is by fiscal years, which can also be a bit confusing for us to understand. We're not used to thinking in those terms in our normal daily time. But the fiscal year starts every October and runs from October through September of the following year. So Biden did not have control over the initial refugee cap because that was set by Trump back in October of last year. And initially, he had just made the campaign promise when Biden was elected that he would be raising the ceiling up to 125,000 for fiscal year 2022. So that was sort of an interesting move that back in February, he said, well, actually, wait, I'm going to go ahead and use my power to intervene in the current refugee cap while we still have many months of the fiscal year left and get rid of that 15,000 and raise it up to 62,500.
Now, there was that backlash, and now the Biden administration is saying, okay, hold on, we're going to come out with a new number in mid-May. Now, for the people who had applied for refugee status, is there a process in the works? Is there a waiting group of people to where if we change the number now, increase the number now, we would have people eligible and vetted to bring in as refugees?
Yes, that's a really great point because a lot of the problems also came from the initial announcement in February that Biden was going to intervene in the fiscal 2021 and go ahead and raise it up to over 62,000. Well, then, of course, many refugee resettlement agencies move forward, and many refugees that have been waiting in the so-called pipeline, as it's called, that have already been vetted, they were already cleared to travel to the United States, at least 35,000 or so were already, you know, ready. And then we saw all of these flights canceled. And then, of course, thousands of people that are waiting in very dangerous, unsafe conditions in oftentimes squalid refugee camps are just remaining in danger each day. Whereas previously, from the February announcement, they actually thought they were going to be gaining entry into the U.S. for their permanent resettlement.
Talking to Elise Cohen from UW-Green Bay about refugee resettlement in the United States and a sort of stop, start, and stop announcements from the Biden administration when it comes to increasing the cap for the current fiscal year that we're in. You can join in with your questions and thoughts at 800-642-1234. Elise, where are the places in the world right now with large numbers of potential refugees waiting to come into the United States or other countries around the world?
Yeah, that's a really important global context. So right now, Syria remains the number one origin country. We're in the 10th year of conflict. It's hard to imagine, but we're in the 10th year of conflict in Syria, and currently Syrian refugees are over 40% of the global refugee resettlement needs. We also see Yemen, which is in its sixth year of civil war there. Over half of the Yemeni population is currently facing starvation. So that is a really grave humanitarian situation. And then we see Central American countries also have really spiked in terms of the number of refugees that have been vetted by the UNHCR, that's the refugee agency, as being in urgent need of resettlement. So those are some of the top countries of origin.
A lot of this from the United States perspective may have to do with domestic politics and people's thoughts about immigration. I've seen some analysts say, Elise, speculate anyway, that the Biden administration had held off on increasing the refugee numbers because of people's focus on the southern border and larger numbers of people arriving there seeking asylum. Do you see that as possibly something of a political trade-off going on here?
Yeah, that's a really great point. So there is this notion that there's a limited bandwidth during the first 100 days. And we know that the Biden administration has been really focused on vaccine distribution for the pandemic. And now, of course, with infrastructure legislation and a divided Congress, the notion that there's these political calculations at play saying, well, we can't do everything, and perhaps it will be divisive if we move forward with changing the refugee cap at this moment. So sort of putting that on the back burner. I don't think the administration was prepared for the backlash it would face, which in many ways, again, it kind of created this problem, I think, in the way it announced things and in the timing that it did so. But we do see that this is a very polarized issue, kind of a legacy of the Trump electoral cycle back in 2016. Refugees became very divisive, so that Democrats largely support refugee admissions now, and Republicans are much more likely to say they oppose refugee admissions, or at least want to greatly restrict the number of them.
We'll pick up our conversation about the Biden administration's stance on refugee resettlement with Elise Cohen, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about refugees and refugee status here in the United States and whether you want to see more or fewer people brought into the country as refugees. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Elise, can you talk about the vetting process you mentioned for refugees seeking to move here to the United States?
Yes, that's a very lengthy process, particularly after 9/11. We saw a reorganization with the Department of Homeland Security created, and the refugee vetting process really increased in length and rigor. So prior to Trump taking office and making changes, which further lengthened and delayed the vetting process, it was already about a year and a half to 2 years with multiple stages, interviews from specialized Homeland Security officers, very deep background checks. And then we saw when Trump came in, he enacted, or his administration enacted, further enhanced vetting or what's been called extreme vetting procedures, which critics say is actually more of a redundancy. And those who supported it said it was really taking what was needed to prevent terrorist infiltration. So the Republicans that have opposed Biden's February announcement have kind of gone back to that Trump language of needing to return to a travel ban in some cases and needing to further lengthen the vetting, whereas those who were advocates of reducing it said, you know, it already took nearly 10 years or 2 years and was very thorough in that process.
It's Brianna Caller now at 800-642-1234. Anita is with us in Lindenhurst, Illinois. Anita, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering, many years ago, there was a program, and you had to get a letter if you wanted your relative to come here as an immigrant. You had to get a letter from the United States Consul Office and show your bank account to show you would be and could be financially responsible for them. They don't do that anymore. But now we see on the news night after night that there's families here who are saying they want to and are ready to take their person in who's being detained at the border. And I'm just wondering, in that kind of case, when there's somebody here ready and willing to house and take care of their relative, why it is that those people don't have an express route out of detainment.
Anita, thanks a lot for the call. And Elise, it sounds like Anita is referring more to asylum seekers at the southern border. I don't know if there was that a family voucher vouching for people seeking refugee status, but correct me, please, if I'm wrong.
Well, I think Anita is actually referring to many of the faith-based resettlement organizations that are playing a crucial role for the integration and welcoming once the refugees come and arrive from their flights from overseas. And in that case, Anita is correct. There are a lot of those voluntary and faith-based groups that are saying, you know, we are ready. We were under the impression back from February we would be taking in, you know, this family or helping with housing or, you know, helping them with getting integrated in their local community. And they said that we are ready to take them. And that has been one of the biggest pushes back is after that February announcement, many of those organizations and families that volunteer with them did make preparations and they are all set to receive, like I said, over 35,000 or so that were cleared to travel here. And so I think that's what Anita's getting at. And that's a really important point for the criticism of keeping that 15,000 and backtracking when the February announcement had already made preparations in play.
Anita, thanks a lot for that call. Go to Lynn next in Eau Claire. Lynn, hi.
Hi. My comment is, years ago, I'm talking about 60s and 70s, we went into their country and we destroyed their way of government and their way of living. And it was all for political gain for us, the United States. I feel like if we want to do something about this problem, instead of at the border, we need to go back into the countries and straighten it out so that the gangs aren't taking over, so that they can make a decent living, so that they can exist in their own countries.
And Lynn, are you referring to Central American countries in particular, it sounds like?
Yes.
Lynn, thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it. And Elise, you and I have talked about this before in regard to people coming from the Central American countries, the ones just to the south of Mexico. What are your thoughts on what Lynn had to say?
Yeah, I think Lynn raises a really great point, not only with the U.S. history of intervention in Central America, which many of the legacies of that intervention remain as part of the driving forces why there's so much corruption and violence and types of persecution of not only Central America, even if we think of those countries I mentioned like Syria and Yemen that have some of the highest needs for global refugee resettlement. The U.S. also intervened in ways that created conditions of harm. A lot of the Syrian refugee situations and Syrian conflict were impacted by the Iraq War. And of course, with Yemen, that crisis has been impacted by the U.S. alliance with Saudi Arabia. So I think you can trace the kinds of threads that Lynn is bringing up to a lot of parts of the world where you could make an argument U.S. foreign policy and intervention has created an obligation to help the refugees in those cases.
Thanks a lot for that call, Lynn. In our last minute or so, Elise, we're talking about the current fiscal year. What are you watching for when the Biden administration has full control, in effect, of setting that refugee standard as opposed to just half the fiscal year or so?
Yes, it will be interesting now that they have experienced this backlash if they will make sure they stick to the campaign promise that for fiscal year 2022, it would be 125,000 as the refugee admission ceiling, and how maybe even in May, like they said in May, they might further increase the current fiscal year to go above that 15,000 number. So I'll be watching that and kind of seeing how they conflate it with the asylum seeking situation at the southern border versus how they kind of more accurately distinguish that overseas refugees are a very different process.
Elise, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks. It was great to be with you, Rob.
Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. She joined us today to talk about the Biden administration's decision to cap the number of refugees at the historically lower level set by the Trump administration. Now, after some backlash, the Biden administration says it will release a higher cap in mid-May.